Oh yeah, three pre-rolls this week, starting with Vuori. Get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet, Anthony. Go to Vuori.com/JRVP for 20% off your first purchase. That's Vuori.com/JRVP. You'll get 20% off and free shipping on U.S. orders over $75. You should wear it into the studio next week, Anthony. Freshly, we'd bring that into the studio. Make summer dinner stress-free with Freshly. Right now, get $125 off your first five orders at freshly.com/JRVP. That's $125 off at freshly.com/JRVP. I think it would help. I think it would help the All Things Comedy Studio to have some Freshly around. Finally, when the moment for intimacy arrives, you need to be ready, Roman ready. Go to getroman.com/JRVP today. If approved, you'll get $10 off your first order. That's getroman.com/JRVP. Three pre-rolls, so good. They should be paying me extra. But not as good as the baby-themed store catering to adults. A reverse coffin flop and Anthony on ASMR, all coming up on episode 171 of the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
JRVP.
Junior Vice President.
Young Gunners in Beast Mode, Canine Teeth Show, Cheat Code, Playing with Unlimited Free Throws. Do you recognize those lyrics?
I don't, but I like, you put your back into that one. That was,
yeah,
like,
I could hit that one.
Real.
Yeah.
Now, what was it?
That was Cheat Codes. that was the Danger Mouse and Black Thought.
Oh, yeah.
From last week. Did you listen?
I haven't. I did, but not enough, I admit.
Okay.
It's a bad job. Sometimes you forget. I did one time through, but that's it.
I keep listening to the same shit over and over again. I've been like dying for an album all summer. Like Drew puts out something every like 2 weeks. But other than that, I'm waiting for something. And I've been waiting for this album all summer. And now I'm like listening to it on repeat and I need something new again. Mm. But I love it.
You're like...
The new Droog is great too, though.
Okay.
The Yanni Dangerfield, I think it's called. Yeah, it's great.
I mean, he had a whole theme with it. When we saw the live show,
mm-hmm.
He had the hair. He had it all.
That was Yod Stewart.
Oh, that's right.
This is the new album since then. Yeah.
It's hard to keep up.
It is.
What's up? You know, how's your life with Liz back? You like are glowing now. Your hair looks better. Your beard is trimmed just like you seem already. I can tell you're happier since she's returned.
I went back to the gym. My week of rest and relaxation and not going to the gym is over. I've been eating healthy again, going to the gym, went and got a haircut, got Liz's haircut. I took her to my lady. I took her to Shin and took her apart. She got short hair now.
Damn, that doesn't sound... took her apart sounds like unhealthy.
Just look at a different person in a good way. Like
I couldn't afford your hairdresser. Like I went to your hairdresser, but like I couldn't afford her, so got a cheaper one at your hairdresser. And even she was too expensive for me.
Yeah.
And I moved on.
You're on TV. You should pay a lot of money for your haircut. My woman, I've been with... her price has gone up over the years. It's like triple what it was when I started seeing her. But if women want to get their hair cut short, but they go to just some random fucking person at your father's mustache or whatever, and it looks like shit. But if you go to something like the best person ever.
Your father's mustache?
That was the name of the store in the mall near my house that I used to go to when I was a kid, and it sucked. Your father's mustache.
There were hair cutting salons or stores in the mall in Japan that were $6 and they looked pretty good. And I was like, I just want to go to get a $6 haircut and see what that's like. I bet it'd be fine.
If like,
but I didn't.
All of my agents like who have like dress in like 3-piece suits all the time, have like Ferraris for cars. They get like $6 haircuts, but they get it cut like every week. They go to the same place and get it. Then I'm like, if you know what you want that way, great. But I like to get my haircut once a month and I want it grows in. I want it to look great. Like it's just as good as it did when I walked out of there. But Liz was very happy.
I mean, you literally said the phrase before we started. I got when I commented on your haircut, let the curl shine. And you don't have any curls. And that's not a saying. Is that a saying?
Yeah.
Let the curl shine. Yeah. I have curly hair. I can let the curl shine. My hair is looking good these days. I'm paying less and it's better.
My hair does get curly if I grow it really long, which I haven't done since college. But I don't say hairdresser. I say haircut lady. And I know that's ridiculous to say, but a hairdresser sounds weird. Hairdresser, I feel like I'm like sitting under like one of those buckets that blow dries your hair.
But they do all that stuff. They probably wash your hair for the amount you're paying, I'm sure.
They would. I always say no. Hmm. I get a hot washcloth. I wipe my head so it gets all the hairs out, and then I just go home and shower later. I don't want to sit there and get my hair washed. I don't need that. Because I wash it before I go in. How often a week do you wash your hair? How many times a week?
3.
Okay. Yeah. I'm probably at two. I like to wait.
I try to time it so that I'm not on camera that day because it doesn't look good the day you wash it. But today, you know, I broke that rule.
The whole day?
I did wash it. If I'm just saying my hair, I would say it looks better when it's like a day out or 2 days out. But I don't like to go.
How long do you think it's been since I washed my hair? And this is for the video people only. If you're listening to this on audio, you don't know what the fuck we're talking about.
This is a ridiculous conversation, but I feel like...
people want to hear me talk about my hair.
How long has it been since you've washed your hair? It looks pretty clean to me. A couple days.
An hour.
Okay.
I wash it before I came in here. Yeah, I look great. I don't need to give it a day after.
But that, you know, it lets the oils really get in there. Then the curls come out. Looks a little more natural, you know.
Got to let the curls shine.
I can't believe we're still talking about it. There is something about being in the studio back together. And you're right. Everyone should be watching us on YouTube along with listening to us in your ears. You should do both. Because we found out that like it all counts. It's all beautiful. And you have a subscribe, you know, you can subscribe to Anthony's channel on YouTube unless you have an NFL sanctioned computer, in which I found out all of JRVP is banned on my computer. I can't get it. It's restricted. And I try to turn the restricted mode off and it just goes right back on to restricted.
Fucking Goodell. You know, what I find people like should do is the podcast comes out Tuesday afternoon, because right. We're taping it earlier this week. And then the video comes out Wednesday.
Listen to it.
Take in all the humor. Take in all the jokes. Take in all the information about my hair and lack of curls. And then watch it on video to double check. Make sure we're not getting away with anything.
Right. And if you're super into the videos, just wait till Wednesday nights. That'll be the schedule. Check out Anthony's page again on...
I don't know how to subscribe to things. Like
subscribe. There'll be an option.
There's I don't know if I'm even signed into YouTube. Like I just look at what my page is doing, but I don't look.
Well, then you can't give a thumbs up. I've been known to occasionally go into the comments and just see one comment I find delightful, give it a little thumbs up from Greg Rosenthal.
I never give thumbs up or thumbs down.
So they know. I've enjoyed all the feedback. This is a lot, though, like sitting across from each other. This is more than I look into someone else's eyes all week, is this podcast.
Sounds like your marriage is going great. How was your week, other than avoiding your wife's eye contact?
No, well, I mean, we wouldn't say we avoid it, but then again, if we were like eating lunch at home, and the kids are back in school as of Thursday. So we'll be sometimes having lunch.
So why are we doing this early today? Why am I here 3 hours early?
So they have an open house Tuesday night, and I'm going to it. So that's why we're here early.
What's up with next week?
They separate the grades by night. So it's like the younger kids. It's like K-2 is Tuesday night, and then next week is 3-5. My kids are named Ellis and Walker. They're your God's kids.
Why?
Because you just said Emeka. Ellis is the kid. But so her night is next week. Yeah.
In my defense, Greg's wife looks like a child. Looks like a young child. Looks younger than your daughter.
I mean, she, I was just thinking today as we like each had our laptops up as we ate lunch together, which is not a great sign. You're probably right. That yes, she looks incredibly young, but we should stop talking about her. She doesn't like that. My week, I gotta say, I'm getting into my process of getting ready for this NFL season. Maybe this is an exciting topic, but I think you'd be interested. Just like this, I counted them up. This is my 20th season covering the NFL in some capacity, and I feel like you have to like come up ways. And I think you go through this too, kind of like keep your job fresh, change it up. So I've been like really diving into this Sunday column that I'm spending a lot of my weekend actually writing, which is like a change. Ellis said, I'm like, I'm trying again. She was like, what, you just weren't trying for a while? And I was like, well, yeah, there's some columns like you feel stronger about than others. So I'm like pouring myself into getting ready for this, doing something like a differently enough that like I'm excited about it. You always have to like change things up.
I mean, you know what I do when I'm feeling stale?
What?
I fire Erica.
I was wondering why you had this smile on your face as I'm just saying this totally normal story.
I thought of it for minutes. Yes, I was waiting on that one. Yeah. So now, like, you've known it 20 years. Are you now excited when there's a horrible story that's almost non-football related to give you something to write about? Like, when the Deshaun Watson thing hits, are you like, oh, now I can talk about this instead of just X's and O's?
No.
You're not happy that those women were assaulted?
No, I feel way more comfortable just sort of and probably just have a better vantage point on issues like that than I did when I was younger. And I feel freer to speak my mind on it, which is awesome. And I like it when the NFL or the NFL Network lets me on to talk about it. And like our podcast, like I think we're providing a valuable service. Like we're speaking truth about like the hypocrisy of how that decision came down, for instance, and just like what a creep, two-faced guy Deshaun Watson is. So I'm happy to do that. But no, I love football. Like we've talked about this in terms of you keeping the fire stoked with comedy. Like I love the sport itself, and it's like impossible to follow it enough to know everything. It's just like there's no end to how much you could possibly know when there's like 53 guys on every roster, and it's like an impossible sport to understand. So I'm into it. I'm into following it and trying to like know more than everyone else. Don't
Would you say that sports writers are the new philosophers, and that like and that you're like the last truth tellers that that you didn't sign up to be everyone's hero?
Why is this getting like the first Aaron like heavy laughter in a while?
Aaron laughs at everything I say.
No, but I do find work very meaningful in that like. Even if what I do is not particularly meaningful, like trying to do it well to me is personally meaningful. That like I want to do a good job, and I get buoyed by some like younger writers have been reaching out lately, and I'm talking with them, and they're like,
buoyed really by younger writers?
Buoyed.
Oh, you get buoyed.
You know, like that they appreciate what I do and that I'm still like cranking it out after all these years.
But
trying to keep it fresh.
But you were saying to me last night when we were talking about the podcast that sports writers didn't sign up to be your hero. That your job is to take people through a spooky mental haunted house so they can reach their own conclusions.
I mean, there are sports writers that take themselves that seriously. I feel like
name a sports writer who takes his viewers to through a spooky mental haunted house so they can reach their own conclusions. Peter Schefter.
That's not even a person. It's Adam Schefter is who I think you're thinking of.
Mm-hmm.
He's more of like an insider. There are those guys that like really stand up for like capital J journos. Michael Wilbon is like an example of one I do admire that like I feel like is one of those guys, but he takes himself pretty seriously.
Yeah, he does. I had a good week. I had my Largo show on Friday. It was really fun. I've been doing it on like Thursdays and Wednesdays for months. And the owner of Largo was like, you know what? I think you're like, your crowd's a Friday crowd. Let's do a Friday show. Sold out for the first time in months. Packed show. Really fun, really great. There's somebody, one of my fans, this fan of mine who comes and she brings like gifts for Rummy every time, once a month. Hmm. And then she brought she had a private chef friend make us a ton of barbecue. And there was all this pulled pork, like barbecued chicken, baked beans, mac and cheese. We got there and I was going to go to dinner with everyone after the show. I've been taking the comics out afterwards. And we had reservations, but I get there and there's all this barbecue that I was like, fuck it. And just loaded up. Like where I like didn't come out in the beginning to where I normally come out in the beginning and do a few minutes. I was like, you know what? Let me just announce the first person and then go back and just sit down because I'm so full of barbecue. Like barbecue is maybe the worst pre-comedy meal you can have because you just feel like you just want to lay down and go to sleep. But I ate up, watched my friends. It was a Nick Swardson, Natasha Leggero, and Orny Adams.
That's a great lineup.
Yeah. Do you remember Orny Adams?
Yeah, from the movie Comedian.
Yes. So I've been like fascinated with Orny Adams since Comedian. Like, I've been on record that I consider the day the movie Comedian came out in theaters, like, literally hit theaters, the day I started doing stand-up comedy, which is October 11th, 2002.
I with you? Did I go with you? I probably did.
You know, I went and saw it three times in that theater, so you definitely came to one of them.
Okay.
But I know I went probably during the day where you, because you had to work. So I'm sure I went by myself the first time, and I'm sure I took you, I'm sure I took Chris.
I saw it in the theater.
I took Mike.
Yeah.
And we were obsessed with the movie. I mean, I tell people who want to become comedians, watch the movie Comedian. And a couple.
How does it hold up? Not to cut you off.
Great. I mean, for me, it's like I use it as like a learning tool. Like, it's on Netflix now. It'll be on Netflix forever because of Seinfeld's deal with them. So go watch it on Netflix. I had the DVD, and I would watch it and watch the commentary every time, and it drove me crazy because there's no Orny Adams commentary. There's a commentary with Seinfeld and Colin Quinn, which is great. There's a commentary with the directors, which is also great. And they'll talk about, there'll be scenes with Orny, and they won't really comment. They'll be like, Orny will talk about this. Orny never talks about that. There's no commentary. It drove me nuts. And I've met Orny a couple times, but I've never felt comfortable enough to ask him about it. And then he did Marc Maron's podcast like a month ago. And Maron was telling me like before he did it and then after he did it. And I was like, oh my God, like tell me all about it. And I listened to the episode and it's great. It's Orny talking about the movie and how they kind of fucked him. He's like, basically he said there's two different edits of the movie. Like every documentary, anytime someone's making a documentary, they've got 100 different stories they can't tell. And they just choose one. And they kind of like move things around to make that story make sense. And there were two stories, one where Orny is like bad and one where he's good. And they went with the bad one. So Orny was like furious. And I don't know if I still haven't asked him if he didn't do it out of spite. Like, I'm not doing a commentary because I don't like this movie. You guys fucked me. Or he did one and they didn't use it. He's during the podcast with Maron, he said he's never been invited to Largo. He talked about the blowback, but like the consequences of being in that movie have kind of given him a reputation with like certain radio shows won't have him on. Certain places won't book him because they think he's difficult.
Why? Because he seemed like a pain in the ass back then?
Exactly. He seemed difficult.
It was like 20 years ago.
And yeah, but it still kind of follows him because that's his story. But a hilarious comedian. I've always thought so. And an interesting guy. You know, gets in his own head for sure, but in a way that I like kind of love and appreciate. So when I heard he'd never been on Largo, I texted him. I got his number, and I was like, Orny, it's Anthony Jeselnik. Like, come do my Largo show. And he was like, oh, my God. Came to Largo, was very excited, got there early, and was nervous in a way that, like, shows you respect Largo. Like, a lot of people are in their head when they get to Largo because, like, they just want it to go well because Largo means so much to a lot of comedians. Got there early, wanted to go last before me because he wanted to see the room and, like, see other comics go. I was happy to do that and liked it. That was charming. And then at the end of the set, he kills. Kills so hard that, like, I was almost acting like him. Like, I was bigger than I normally am on stage because I was, like, trying to be, like, Orny. And so I was laughing at myself, like, doing these Orny mannerisms, like, yelling at the audience. And he stops. He does his act and then stops and, like, looks at me and is like, you know, I just want to say, I know you guys are all here to see one guy. And, like, I'm here because of him, too. He heard me say I'd never been on Largo and got in touch and brought me here. So I'm so grateful. Like, thank you so much, Anthony Jeselnik. Like, and I go on. I'm like, really nice introduction. Even Liz was like, that was a great introduction. Have a great set. I'm at like half an hour now. Did the story, like the knife story, dropped it. I'm never telling the story again. I don't even know the story. I think I've told it to you before. I did it on a podcast, and I did it like at the Wilshire E. Bell for that Netflix festival, and it killed. I was like, oh, I can keep working on this. And I'm telling it worse every time I tell it. You know, you tell a story over and over again.
Well,
I just get bored.
This was a big development a while back on the podcast. And yeah. You were excited you had this.
I was excited, and I hadn't heard it. Like, I'll just keep doing it. I'm so sick of doing it, and it's so bad now that I'm never doing it again. I'll do old jokes instead. But afterwards, I'm like, Liz was like, Orny, that was a great. I really liked the introduction. He goes, yeah, I wanted to kind of stop and kind of reset before I brought you on. I didn't want to do my normal closer and kill so hard you couldn't follow me. And it was dead serious. No one here even knows you're in the you're backstage. Like, everyone's here bought tickets to see me. Like, I would have been fine, but it was very funny to have him say that.
Well, that's what you want after watching him in Comedian. That's Orny being Orny.
100%. I mean, I truly love Orny Adams. We didn't go to dinner after the show. I was excited to see what Orny would be like at dinner, and he was so pumped. He was like, I Ubered here. I'm just gonna go for a walk when we left. He was like, you guys have a good night. I'm going to go for a walk. Like, you could tell it meant so much to me to have had a great set at Largo that I was thrilled.
Him finding out that he's had a good career, because after seeing Comedian, like, I don't think I knew about him much. But then you see over the years, like, oh, he's popping up. Like, he's had a great career. It was, like, a very delightful reveal. You wouldn't have expected after watching the movie Comedian, because my takeaway was it did kind of bury him in a way that I was like, oh, this was a fascinating but kind of a portrait of like the guy who doesn't end up making it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I wonder what it would look like now. Because at the time, it still seemed like he was older than us and everything. But now, when he's still older than us, obviously. But like watching it now, where it's like 20 years since it filmed, I wonder if he'd have a different perspective. I just remember one time at the Ice House. I don't know if you came to the show. I was in a comedy contest at the Ice House in Pasadena. And it was the finals. And I had a great set. I was like killing. It was like a whole Latino crowd. And I'm killing until I did one joke about Jesus. And the whole crowd turned on me so hard. That I ended up I came in second place, and I lost to a guy who had this like great bit about Jägermeister, and the crowd was just like, "Ah, Jäger!" And I went on stage to get my second prize, whatever it was, and I was just kind of I was annoyed. I was mad I didn't win, and I walked up on stage. I remember Mike Valdesvalle afterwards was like, "You should be embarrassed by how you like accepted your second place award." And I was like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "You were like Orny Adams up there." And I'll never forget it. I was like, I knew exactly what he meant. And I was like, okay, from now on, just be grateful, like enjoy it, wow. And don't get mad you were in second place.
Look but at yeah, Valdez was, giving valuable
it was great.
Life advice.
I watched two things this weekend I wanted to talk to you about. I don't think you've seen either one. Did you see House of the Dragon?
No, I'm not going to watch
it. It's the Game of Thrones spinoff. I loved Game of Thrones when it was on. I never read the books. I'm not like a sci-fi guy, but I loved a fantasy guy. I loved Game of Thrones. Hated the last season like everybody else, but I was like, you know what? I'll watch this. Yeah, I don't have anything else TV-wise. I'll watch it. Liz could not pay attention, but I was into it. It's like, imagine, it's great. It's like, imagine if Game of Thrones, if you loved Game of Thrones, did you ever watch Game of Thrones?
No.
Imagine Game of Thrones, if you loved Game of Thrones, but wished everyone had the exact same haircut, then House of the Dragon is for you. Aaron, did you watch House of the Dragon?
I have not yet.
Did you watch Game of Thrones?
Yes.
Would you be interested if I told you House of Dragon is Game of Thrones, only everyone has the exact same haircut?
I gotta see how this
it's
looks.
It's like a ponytail. I have seen like pictures of House of Dragon or House of the Dragon.
House of the Dragon.
On Twitter and stuff. And it does seem like it's a lot of braided long hair.
It's like, remember the I'm Slim Shady video where it was just a bunch of like white guys with the same haircut? It's like the I'm Slim Shady video, only they have long hair. It's like an updated version of it, and it fucking rips. Life rips.
But like, do you actually enjoy the show? It just looks like some murky, like brown colored, everyone's miserable. I don't know. I don't like fantasy. So
yeah, I don't know. I don't normally either, but I love Game of Thrones. And this seems like it's going to be cool. In the original Game of Thrones, I watched like 8 episodes before I had any idea who anybody was. Like, oh, they're related to that person. That one's good. That one's bad. Where I had a much better idea 10 minutes into this series of who was who. And I think that's just the way it works. But I'm excited.
But don't
the first
tweet
season.
At me or send an email that's like, I know you don't like fantasy, but this would be the one that like locks you in. It's like, I get that all the time.
When have
it's,
I ever emailed
not
you?
Not you. I'm saying yeah. the listeners. You get that a lot. It's like, I know you. I know you don't like Marvel movies, but you know, I'm trying to think of that one. I'm terrible. This is terrible. Like a Black Widow. Like, you're going to love Black Widow.
No
like,
one said that about Black Widow. No, I know. Like, oh, you hated them all? You'll love Black Widow.
No. I'm trying to think of the one with Michael B. Jordan. It's terrible. That I
Black Panther?
Black Panther. It's like, oh, Black Panther, though. There's more to it than that. And then watch half of it. It's like, no, this is silliness to me. Personally, this isn't going to be the one that
Are you telling me
over.
Black Panther is silly to you? You racist piece of shit. Another thing I watched this weekend that you haven't seen yet, I asked you about it right before the show, but it's amazing. I don't know what it's called, the Manti Te'o documentary on Netflix. It's like a two-part documentary. You remember the Manti Te'o thing? Well, if you don't know, Manti Te'o was a Samoan guy from Hawaii who was awesome at football, like an amazing football player, went to Notre Dame and was killing it. And then talked about he had like a long distance girlfriend in Hawaii for a couple of years, and his grandma was sick in Hawaii, and then they both died, like I think on the same day, like his junior maybe senior year, and it was like this big like it was this national story. Everyone's talking about it. People who don't care about college football. Like Manti Te'o is the only Notre Dame player from the past 15 years I can name, and I'm going to a game in a couple of weeks.
Shout out, Jimmy
it was like a
Clausen.
Big deal. And then it came out. I think Clausen was before Te'o. And it came out that his girlfriend who died did not exist, like wasn't a person. And everyone's like, how would he? I don't believe that he wasn't a part of this, like part of the story. Like, I don't believe that someone could like never meet their own girlfriend and then be so broken up about their death. Like, this is so weird. This documentary tells you everything. And the person who like catfished him is the documentary is basically about them. And I'll say them because I don't want to give any spoilers. But Te'o is cool. He's great. He like explains it. And I get why they waited like 8 years to tell the story, because you would not have believed it if this documentary came out right after the fact. Now you're like, okay, this story's nuts. Hmm. But the person who did this to Tao, who like had this thing, treats it as if it was like a character flaw of theirs. Like, oh, I was having a hard time then. This was a weird time for me. So yeah, I did call them and make my voice a girl's voice and pretend to be his girlfriend and like, and had a Facebook account. I wasn't at my best. But now I'm cool. And it's like, it's so funny that they make it about themselves and not about the harm they caused to people. But it's definitely watch it. I forget what it's called. I don't know if it's like Unspoken or
Untold, which Untold. Is, I think, a series. And I'm looking forward to it. I mean, it's a moment in time. To me, that was like the ultimate Deadspin story. Mm-hmm. Deadspin never sort of had more cultural relevance than like as they were breaking that story. And I was like very much in the sort of blog world, just like, right, you know, making a living writing online and stuff. And that was just like them at their peak. And you never heard of Catfish before. Like that was sort of Catfish breakout story. Good week for Catfish.
The OG Catfish. It was great. Watch it.
I'm so annoyed. Like don't eat. My hot take on Black Panther is going to be like the most unpopular thing I've ever said. It was just the first Avengers movie that came to mind. Although I've tried a couple and that was one of them. And I always end up thinking like, no, it's still not into it.
I've seen almost every Marvel movie up through Endgame, and then I haven't watched one since.
I'm not even saying like it wasn't a good movie. It's good at what it does, but it's not for, you know, not everything has to be for everyone.
I just liked Black Panther because I'm not a racist piece of shit, and I can enjoy watching African American actors on screen. Some of them African actors, and it was fun to watch. You know, I like to support people other than myself.
I do too.
Prove it.
That's my response. What do you mean, prove it?
Prove it. What's the last movie you saw in theaters? What white supremacist propaganda did you plop down $12 to go check out?
Nope. What a great answer for me. Nope.
Yeah, but you only watched it because you heard black people were getting killed. And now it's time for, did we get any notes? I hope it's as loud for the people as it was for me in my ear.
The one maybe is a little aggressive.
Aggressive kazoo.
Oh, wait, I have another option. You want to hear this?
Wait until the next, after the segment.
Okay.
Did we get any notes? What are your notes? Did we get any
notes? So that was a specialized, did we get any notes?
Why didn't you use that?
Because I forgot that.
Did a fan send that in?
A fan sent in some options, and a lot of people are doing this. And if you're just sending me in your music, I'm not going to listen. But this one was special, little breaks. I figured I'd give it a shot.
And you still fucked it up. You played a different song in the beginning.
I probably should have just waited just now until the end of the segment. But now, yeah.
Okay.
Great. I had notes. I have many notes. I went through all the emails, and there were some notes. Aaron's chair is a note. Aaron, your chair is so noisy. There was like six different people complaining about how noisy your chair is and how unsexy it is. So get some WD-40, fix the chair. Someone let us know that woolly mammoth meat tastes just like green sea turtle, and had like a scientific article. People actually figured out what it tasted like 6 years ago. It was pretty legit. So it tastes like green sea turtle. I just wanted to kind of throw out there. I don't know if that's a note. And then Shane let us know, and I guess we're taking notes at least this week from the listeners. I thought it was important to note that you cannot cure HIV, and it is definitely worse than herpes. You can suppress HIV with medication, but you can never get rid of it.
You can cure AIDS.
Yeah,
it's like you have HIV, then you have full-blown AIDS. You can go back to HIV. Listen, if you're listening to this podcast and you're like waiting to talk to your doctor, and you're like, oh, hold on, I got to listen to this for the rest of this episode. You're gonna die. Don't listen to us for our medical needs. And if we talk about some medical shit and we're wrong, we don't need to know about it. We don't care. I assume that was wrong. I forgot that I thought it was good.
It was like, it's like Stat Boy on PTI. I was like, okay, we'll correct the record here.
Plus, I will argue that AIDS or HIV is not as bad as herpes. It's almost like there's less of a stigma in a certain, depending on who your group is.
I don't want to speak for Shane, but it just felt like he was speaking from experience. And I'm going to go with him.
I think Shane took a biology class and remembered something and wanted to get in touch. I saw some notes. I'll make this quick. We dropped merch last week, and in a sense, it was very popular. If you look at sales, and I get an email every time someone buys anything or buys a bunch of things. The people have been into it and have been buying stuff, which is great. On TeePublic, the company we're using, they just design it and then they print everything to order. So we're never stuck with anything. If you like it, great, buy that. And we know people like it. If you don't like it, if no one buys like Design Z, then we know not to make any more of it. Or we know that it's not popular, find other things. That's how you vote on merch. You either buy it or you don't. What a lot of people did was talk wildly out of pocket about merch. And I'll take the blame here. I'm not going to yell at our listeners. Or say that I was upset. I was a little taken aback. Liz was a little taken aback. I blame myself for hyping the merch too much, for hyping Liz's involvement too much, and I will leave it at that. Hopefully we'll make some more, but at this point, no one is excited to jump back into the draft table. And
really?
Start
because,
more
see, this is why I've said from the beginning to you, don't read the Reddit board. Nothing personal, but it's just not good for mental health or whatnot, because on the email, JRVP, junior vice president at gmail.com, very positive. On Twitter and stuff, very positive. We've already gotten some people sending us their stickers and their shirts and their mugs that they've gotten in the mail and how much they love it. And it's been like an 80% positive. So
yeah,
depends where you look.
Here's the critic I care about, me. I like the merch. Yeah. I can't wait to wear the merch. I'm excited about it.
Well, we got to let people know. The link is in the podcast description, so you can check it there. I've been putting on Instagram story. We should have it somewhere permanent, though. I'll send it out on Twitter, so check it out there. You should be following me on Instagram. At one point, like a few weeks ago, Anthony was behind me in terms of Instagram followers. I'm around 19K. You now have how many?
120-some K.
Shit.
Yeah.
I mean,
Instagram Reels took off for me. 200K TikTok people. It's getting there.
But no, we appreciate, because so many people have bought the merch. That's the thing. It's been very popular. So we love that. And we hear some of the suggestions of popular JRVP segments of the past or quote, sweep before you mop, listener of the week. And we'll take those into consideration.
We're going to work on it. Listen, I'm very good at taking criticism or people talking shit online. I read a couple of Reddit things and I was like, I'm out of here. You guys have fun. But Liz read it. And Liz, luckily, this is a good sense of humor about these things, and was like annoyed for a day and then over it. But be nice to my girlfriend. That's all I care about. And that was, did we get any notes?
Actually, it kind of works as a sting at the end. You don't need to do it beforehand.
I think we do it on either side, do it in the front and the back. Give me it one more time. It's not good.
No.
It's not a good mix.
That one I don't think is going to stick, but there's a couple others that I like.
Okay. And now it's time to take it down to a place that used to be called something different. Used to be a different thing. Now it's the same thing. It's Email Corner.
It's email corner.
I like that.
I think that might stick.
Emails are a thing that we get. JRVPJuniorVicePresident@gmail.com. Send us questions. We're answering multiple and doing multiple things. Give us ideas of things you just want us to talk about, and we'll throw it in the email corner.
Right. I kind of like the ones that are things they're looking for advice from their life. I think that's a good, segment of the possible emails, other than like, who do you want to roast, Anthony?
I hate that. I'm so sick of that. Greg sends me like several questions. I eliminate some just for time. And there's always one that's like not a question at all. It's like, really like the podcast.
Well, there's some that are like comments that I'm just giving you an option. I don't think that's a bad idea. I got to say, after I called out the listeners last week, they sent in so many questions that I feel like we're pretty good for a while. But still,
why get people to stop sending in so many?
Because I have just, for I like prepare. I'm trying to prepare for when the NFL season's starting. I don't have time for this shit, and I like put them all together. I like we've got a big backload. I want them to be great if you're going to send them in. What I was going to say is like we've got a lot of emails that are good for now, but always be sending those headlines. I love the headlines. We need that. I'm just saying.
You're turning into Erica.
There's less headlines. Would Erica have I'm not even going to say. I mean I have a whole like setup here of great questions.
Is this a woman? What are you doing with your hands?
No, this is the document on Google that I've set up already. Mm-hmm. I've done work. I spent hours in that email. Dang. What is that? You're making a little teepee.
A triangle.
What is the triangle supposed to symbolize here?
Three corners.
Would you ever consider doing a set for the troops, Anthony? Andrew asks. A lot of us love your comedy and believe it would be a much-needed morale boost.
Good question. I've been asked this several times. I love the troops. I would love to do something for the troops, but if I just went and came into like a crowd of people, like if I do like it seems like it would be like doing a college for me. There'd be some people who are really into it, but the majority would not be. That I feel like performing for the troops, if it goes bad or they're not into what you're doing, it can be real weird. And to fly to like fucking Fallujah and sit down on a base and have these guys who like been starved for entertainment get up and they get an hour of me in the desert, seems like it could go wrong.
No, they'll love it.
Some would definitely love it.
They'll be starved.
Listen, the USO has never once asked me to do one of these because of the kind of comedy that I am. Like most comics I know get invited all the time. We'll go into it. Jeff Ross goes constantly. He's like a great person for that. They kind of get everybody. But I would listen, but I don't think they want me. But I would love
I've always really wanted to because they do NFL trips like that. And at one point I thought I could get sent along. My co-host Mark Sessler did a couple. He did one in Germany. He did one in the Middle East. I just would think that'd be a cool experience. But I have not gotten sort of like the go-ahead to do that.
It must have been a real thrill for all those troops to get to see Mark Sessler.
He was writing more about for our website of all the players and the coaches. So he was contributing in that way. It wasn't so much like him on the stage.
How was his hand from signing all this autograph?
I mean, now we're pretty big around the NFL podcast overseas. We're heading to the UK soon. Anthony,
yeah, I would do it, but I don't think they want me, and for good reason. I don't think they're wrong.
Okay. This next question is from Azalea. If you're a woman and you listen to the podcast, I feel like you have a better chance of your email getting through. I always just like, I just feel like A, their questions are better, and then B, I just want it to be a little more balanced. I'm happy that our listenership does seem relatively balanced.
So you want more guys to email?
I want more women to email.
Okay.
I just think that's good. A lot of us, she said, what are you afraid of? She had some other stuff, but I'm going to edit it down. What are you afraid of that you know is unreasonable? And she gives two of her own examples, which I liked. She's afraid of bugs being in her mouth at any given moment. Like, she loves bugs.
She loves them.
That's what she said. She likes them in person and likes holding them, but she's always afraid that they're going to crawl in her mouth whenever she's outside. She's anxious about that. She's also afraid of fast food workers coming in her food when she orders late at night. Quote, I get why they do it, but I'm terrified of it happening to me.
She's talking about fast food workers ejaculating into her food before they give it to her. She gets why they do it.
Why are you empathizing with fast food workers coming into your food?
Like, well, you know, it's late at night. You're around all that food. You got to take care of business.
You're too nice. You're nice to the bugs. You're like, you don't need to have empathy for everyone.
Eat the bugs.
Don't understand why they do it.
I think that those are irrational fears, even though the fast food, like, I kind of understand that the fast food gets kind of gross at night. You don't know what they're doing, but I'm pretty sure they're not, you know, full on ejaculating in
the food.
Right.
We've talked about this. Like, spitting in your food, like, don't ever complain about anything. Like, that is happening. That's not even an irrational fear. It's happening if you're being a pain in the ass.
Yeah, and be nice. Different. Be nice when you go and get food, fast food late at night. That's not a fear of mine. Even though I do think it's kind of a little irrational. The bugs in the mouth thing, definitely irrational. What is your irrational fear?
Okay, well, I initially thought of just, like, rational ones, like, you know, like getting,
that's not the
getting
question.
Sideswiped, like my kids resenting me.
Those are facts.
Not maximizing like our limited time.
What will your kids resent you for?
I don't know. That's what I try to think about, but that is often in my mind. Like, I don't know. It seems like everything we're getting along, but
making
kids
them play
always,
tennis.
I feel like that's when we're at our best or whatever. Like, we're just having, like, we're in the moment. We're having a great time. But they probably will for something. So I'm always, like, just thinking about that. But no, the irrational one, I can't set alarms on even numbers. I don't like even numbers in general. Like, if I'm writing an article, like, 53 things we learned from the second week of the preseason, like, I just can't have it be 50 or 55. Or, like, when I'm setting an alarm to wake up in the morning for a plane, like, it's got to be 647 or 651. It's just, like...
But that's not an irrational fear. That's just, like, a weird quirk.
Okay. I asked Emeka, trying to come up with one. She was like, that we order too much food. I don't know if that's a fear either, but it's like, well, what if we have too much food? She's always, like, pushing back. It's like, well, that'd be great. Then we'd have too much food.
Yeah, put it in the fridge.
Right. Or, like, when we're getting, you know, food at
the groceries. Your irrational fear is having leftovers.
I guess so, yeah. That's my best I could come up with.
That's not good.
I'm very rational, and I'm a badass. I'm not really afraid of it very much.
My irrational fear, I'm sure I've talked about this before, is sharks in the swimming pool. Sharks in a swimming pool. I'm brave. Like, I know it's impossible. I'm not going to get eaten in a swimming pool. But I trust me. If I'm in a swimming pool and I close my eyes and go underwater, I'm picturing a shark 6 inches away from me, about to eat me. Something about the clear water makes me just imagine from, like, an overhead view a giant Jaws type shark, open mouth, coming at me and eating me. When I was on the swim team back when I was a kid, I would listen to the Jaws theme song before meets. And so when I hit the water, I was just like pure fear. A shark's about to eat me if I don't swim as fast as I can. When I was like really little and I was super into Jaws, I'd be in the shower and be a little bit scared. Knew it wasn't going to happen. Would take my time in the shower, but I was a little afraid a shark would burst through the wall and eat me in the shower. Those two things.
It's really irrational.
But I'll be in the ocean and not a fear in the world. I'll be swimming around the ocean, not caring about sharks at all. Can't imagine because I can't see them. But the shower and the swimming pool, I'm thinking about it. I'm not afraid. Maybe I'm, I guess, afraid. Afraid's the word. But I'm like, I'm handling my business. But I'm thinking about it at all times until I get out of the water.
Did you ever think of, like, confronting this fear? Like, maybe it could have been, like, a Shark Party 2 situation. Like, make it a skit on the Jeselnik offensive, the shark busting through in your shower. There's something comedic.
You think we had the budget for that? You think we had the budget for let's have a shark burst through the pool and eat me on camera?
I mean, the shower is more funny to me that a shark would bust through the shower door. I think you could have done it like a cheap looking version of it. I mean, yeah, you hired like a bunch of dancers to come out and dance like a shark.
Yeah, dancers are easy. Getting a shark to burst through a shower is not.
That is pretty irrational.
Yeah, that's my irrational. But I'm okay with it. It's like, just understand you're afraid. Like, this girl doesn't not go outside because she's afraid bugs are going to get in her mouth. She doesn't like wear a mask when she goes outside. She's just kind of like, oh, I hope it doesn't happen. What was that show that
Right,
had, like,
I didn't really have anything really. Well, as you were talking, I sort of thought of, like, I don't know if it's a fear. It's more of just like an image, but it's very dark, which is just like an image of like my head getting blown off with like a rifle.
Like you doing it or someone shooting you?
Maybe me, yeah.
Maybe
someone else. I mean, this is probably something that I would bring up with a therapist if I had it. But sort of like, just like that image almost, yeah, looping and seeing that, you know, semi-often.
You're afraid that you'll like see a gun and just have the urge to pick it up
and
shoot yourself.
No, that's the thing, is I don't have that actual fear, but it's more just like I'll see that image when I wake up sometimes. This is like, or just like when I'm in the shower or something like that. This is getting real.
There was a TV show on like TLC or something that was like people had like irrational fears, so they did weird shit. Like someone like would eat like parts of like a sofa cushion. She was always eating the foam from a sofa cushion, and the whole episode would be about her. And there was one woman whose biggest fear was taking a shit. And she had a family, had like multiple kids, a husband, like a normal life. But the camera would follow her and she'd just be like, like just truly waited as long as she could before she had to poop. Like literally was just walking around miserable, like just trying to like get extra seconds before she had to poop. Then when she would go into the bathroom and poop, and then she had to go right into the shower and clean herself for hours to the point that like her butt was bleeding. Like steel wool scraping her butt. And I was like, this is the worst thing. I saw maybe 10 minutes of that episode and I've never watched it again. But I'm like, I'm okay. I'm a good person. I have a good life because I'm not afraid to poop, lady. That seemed like the worst. Like the worst.
That does seem like the worst. Was that supposed to make me feel better about my image?
I was saying you're like her.
Oh.
You guys are two peas in a pod.
I would hope she could have like the pride that, that my son, your godson Walker, has in his poop. Not only does he like doing it, but he made the, like, he would not be satisfied until the entire family came to look at how long his poop was today, just because he was like so proud. And it, I got to admit, it was like incredibly long.
That's my godson. Did you ever think it'd be funny to, like, after he flushes it, throw a fit that, like, I can't believe you threw it away? Like, you didn't get a picture?
No, but he was getting like, he, I came over to kind of satisfy his urge of like, I'm gonna look at this, but he was ready to throw a fit unless Ellis and Emeka also came over. Like, he would not let me flush it. So
have you ever thought about getting like a bunch of pudding and just like smearing it all over your face and then walk in his room and play a little
prank? Wouldn't say it's like a thing. It was more just like, this thing was like, hey, everyone should see this, this is amazing. He was right. Let's move on to Sophia's question.
That's a hard pivot.
She had a lot going on too in her email, but it, the point of it that really transfixed me, I loved her email, thank you Sophia, was her asking, can you guys smell sneezes? Which I was like, is this like a bit? She said she always thought everyone could because her sisters and her, and she can. But she found out a couple of years ago that only a very small percentage of the population can. But it's common. Google it. Not all sneezes do smell, and it's impossible to describe the smell. But if you know, you know. I did Google it. It's a thing.
Not all sneezes smell, but do all sneezes that smell have the same smell? Does that make sense?
I Googled it just to sort of like see if she was pulling our chain here. But no, it is a thing, like that a small percentage of the human population can smell.
Can you smell your sneezes?
No.
No.
I never heard of such a thing.
So is it like you smell your own sneezes?
I'm amazed. That's awesome.
You smell other people's sneezes.
You smell all sneezes. Not all sneezes, actually. Not every sneeze smells, but she can just smell sneezes in general, and a lot of them it seems like do.
So if someone walks in the room and sneezes, she can smell that?
Possibly, yeah.
See, that's gross. What I would say is for this, and I didn't know sneezes.
I didn't know
smell,
it was a thing.
It makes sense.
I'm happy now.
I believe it. You're true. Happy. This makes you happy.
I think it's like, you know, every day is a new day. Like
this,
I'm being.
And this is the best day of your life.
But I'm being reborn, and like tomorrow's me now knows you can smell sneeze. Now, like every time someone sneezes for the rest of their life, I'll be aware that it's possible people could smell that. I'll probably bring this up to other people that
you will.
They don't know.
You're going to be so popular. You're going to get so many Instagram followers. Smell the sneeze.
I think it could, like, Sophia should make it her thing. Maybe, you know, it's like we had the herpes lady. There should be, like, a TikTok smelling sneezes lady.
Sneeze smell lady? I think you wouldn't trust her because she'd be like, oh, that sneeze smelled like circus peanuts. And you'd be like, I don't believe you.
It sounds like all the sneezes smell the same because she's saying it's impossible to describe, which makes me think that in general, just like the sneezes have a smell. I imagine that it's kind of like musky. What do you think the sneezes smell like?
I assume it smells almost like that, like chlorine in a swimming pool. You know, like when in the summer you drive by a swimming pool and you smell that, like it's just like heavy in the air. And you're just like, what is that? Like, I think it has like almost a chemical smell, but like a natural chemical smell. I would think that if I was Sophia, I would shut the fuck up. Like, you wouldn't want to tell people that you can smell sneezes, that you have this power. It's like, remember when Superman was a kid? And he didn't want anyone to know he was Superman because they would things would go bad for him. So he would like let people die. He wouldn't go save people. He would let them die. Remember that?
What a dick.
Yeah. He just doesn't want people to know. You gotta have a secret identity. If people find out you can smell sneezes, you're a fucking fire starter. You're Drew Barrymore, bro. And the government's coming for you. And they're gonna use you.
This kind of was like one of those emails that was like almost a comment less than a question. And see, it works. Like, I'm glad we know this now. But yeah, Sophia, I would not let the population.
Sophia wasn't asking a shit. She wanted to tell us,
right.
I can smell sneezes.
That's what I'm saying. And I'm glad. I know now. But yeah, like if people start to know that, it could be dangerous. The next and final one, we spent a lot of time in email corner this week, is from Emily. She just asks to please do an ASMR segment for emails or a whole show. That would be a lot. You'll need soft talking, button taps, crinkles, clicks.
Aaron, can you hear this when I do this? Yeah. Yeah, people like that. I read a book recently.
Page flipping, maybe some drinking noises.
Tracy Flick can't win. There's a girl who does ASMR, and she makes a lot of money on YouTube doing it. She's like a hot chick who kind of just talks like this. Oh, thank you so much. Oh, do you want me to read a book to you? Do you want me to turn the pages of this book? Tap, tap, tap. Click, click, click. I don't know. How long do people do ASMR for?
I think they do it for a while. I'm going to take some notes with this pen here.
My ASMR voice is better than yours. Yours sounds like shit.
I'm not so sure about that. She...
Can they combine ASMR with other things like S&M ASMR?
I do think that's kind of a
like you weak
part
piece of,
it.
Of shit. You weak piece of shit. You're an insect. My boots.
Emily said, "Don't make it gross. This is noise art."
She said, "Don't make it gross."
Well, maybe it's time to go get in my car. Oh, you're a little baby. Oh, you're a little baby. Your little baby with these keys.
Gonna run over that little baby. Ba-boom, ba-boom. Where's that little baby go?
You want to read this book, little baby?
Okay, Greg has gotten much better at it over time. I'm just as bad. I don't know how long it's supposed to go for. I get bored, to be honest. But I do have soothing, dulcet tones.
Yeah, I don't have that. But I think I could. I would do it again.
We should do an ASMR segment. I don't know if ASMR people would find this podcast and want to watch that, or if it's trying to introduce our listeners to ASMR.
Yeah, I don't think it could be like a weekly thing, but if we drop in an ASMR like just every 4 months out of nowhere, I would be into that.
Maybe our 200th episode.
Okay.
And in 6 months or 7 months, we'll do an ASMR episode. I think we get sick of it. Right. I think we'd get like 10 minutes in and be like, I can't fucking do this anymore.
Well, we wouldn't do the whole episode. Just do a little segment. Do a little segment and maybe we'll drop it on you. Or not.
Come in and record it and then just bury it. Maybe sell it. People can buy the ASMR episode.
Oh, yeah, we're going to drop that ASMR on you, whether you like it or not, you little baby.
Yeah, Greg's a little creepy. And that was Email Corner. Email. And now it's time for
Ad Copy.
Woo-wee. Listen to that chair. I love it. I think that email corner might be staying. The rest, I don't know, but we'll see. Vuori's staying. They're staying on my body because I love my Vuori clothing, as comfortable and versatile as it gets. Everything that they make is designed to work out in, but doesn't look like it. We've been talking about it now a few times, but to me, it's like the perfect Santa Monica gear. Because it's like, is it hot or is it cool? I can't tell. Like, and that's the type of clothes that Vuori has. Like, should I dress up? Should I not? I don't know. That's the type of clothes that Vuori really hooks you up with. It's like comfortable where you can wear it for any activity like running, training, swimming, yoga, or lounging. But also you can kind of wear it out to pick up the kids, to meet a friend for coffee, to go grocery shopping. Where do you wear your Vuori?
To work out.
Anthony.
Okay. To the gym and to walk my dog.
And they're coming on fast. I actually saw like a Vuori truck driving around my neighborhood. And I was like, damn, Vuori's just got like delivery trucks out in the street in the world.
They've
got
to get me one of those Vuori trucks.
They're blowing up. They got the performance jogger, the daily legging. That's for women. They got the core short. I like that. It's like lined. You got the performance jogger. That's also for men. Vuori is an investment in your happiness. For our listeners, they're offering 20% off your first purchase. Get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet at Vuori.com/JRVP. That's Vuori.com/JRVP. Not only will you receive 20% off your first purchase, that's nice. You also get free shipping on any U.S. order over $75 and free returns. Go to Vuori.com/JRVP and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing. That's one we believe in. Put it on our bodies. I want more. Send me more Vuori.
Buy it.
That's true. We could just buy it.
You want a gym fit. You want
I
to
would.
Look good.
I want more. I want more than just the sweatpants. I also want more Freshly because it's been a while since Freshly sent us their outstanding meals. I needed it for when I came back from Japan and I was just living by myself there for 3 weeks because Freshly is much better than any fast food. It's much better than any frozen dinner. It's much better than anything I can make for myself.
It's so much cheaper than ordering in. Stop ordering in. Start getting Freshly. It's the best of all worlds. I wish I'd had it last week.
Right. I bought some prepared, like dried out food, like some yakisoba from the Japanese market. It's like, no, it's just, that's not healthy for you. It's like a bunch of packets, a ton of sodium.
Freshly. Don't let the Japanese win. It's a culture war trying to get you to eat out of convenience stores in Tokyo. Don't listen to them.
I'm just saying, like, anything that's sort of
Freshly is American.
That's true. It's designed
by Freshly was on the right side of World War II.
It's prepared by chefs, and it's delivered right to your door. Other meal delivery options make you do all the work of prepping and cooking. I don't understand those, like, prepping and cooking food. It's like, either learn how to cook or try cooking or order takeout or get Freshly. Ideally, get Freshly. It's coming ready to eat and like heat and eat in 3 minutes or less. But it's like, hey, I'm gonna order a bunch of stuff and then I need to do the work. No, it's just 3 minutes in the microwave. It's already made. Freshly has delicious, fresh, healthy meals. My mom sometimes asks, she asks which one of these sponsors like I really do believe in. And I tell her Freshly. I tell her Fresh. She's like, oh, you really do love that Freshly? I was like, yeah, it's great. You can go to their website. You get $125 off across your first 5 orders. You pick whatever you like. You don't have to have the same thing over and over. If you want to get a ton of Freshly, like week after week after week after week, they've got 50 options, so you don't need to eat the same food all the time. It can be very healthy. They can have sides. They can have plant-based meals. We're going hard on Freshly this week. Make summer dinners stress-free with Freshly. Right now, you get $125 off your first 5 orders at freshly.com/JRVP. That's $125 off at freshly.com/JRVP.
So this is the one that you like?
No, I like them all, but it came to my mind that the last time it came up, she was like, oh, you really like those Freshly? I think she was thinking about ordering, and I said, yeah. Go get it and use that code. And then go get some Roman, Mom. It's time. We usually don't do 3 ads all at once. These are our only 3 ads this week. And Roman is a longtime sponsor that we believe in as well.
Papa.
Papa Roman is our guy. He knows that change doesn't happen without action. So it's like, if you want to get healthy, you work out. You got to do something. If you want to fix your ED problem, you get Roman. That's what they're saying. They're saying, like, you don't just, like, wait for something to fix itself. If you've got ED, it's just not going to magically solve itself. Plus, Roman swipes, which this week we're talking about, is clinically proven to help you last longer in bed. So if, like, you've got an issue where it's just like, hey, you get all excited, but maybe a little too excited, a little too quick. You don't need a prescription for Roman swipes. It'll make you last a little longer. PE treatments are safe.
Let the curls shine.
See, PE treatments are safe, effective. They're used by millions of men. They're free in terms of their 2-day shipping. You don't have to pay for shipping. You can go to GetRoman.com/JRVP today. If approved, you'll get $10 off your first order. That's GetRoman.com/JRVP. Get those swipes. Again, those, you don't need a prescription for those, and they're clinically proven to last just a little bit longer for your loved one in bed. That's just, you know, staring into those steely grays. I don't know. What color are your eyes there, Anthony? Just felt a little differently.
It's my best friend. And that was Ad Copy. Let's get to headlines.
Headlines.
That's a winner.
That is. Okay. I'm colorblind. That's the thing. Is like, people are very into eye color, and different eye colors certainly pop to me, but I never know the difference between any sort of like blue, gray, whatever is going on, because I'm colorblind. That's like right in my problem area. So you tell me what they're blue.
Yeah. Okay. Blue, blue, green.
Blue, green. See, blue, green, gray. It's like, I don't know.
Ask me what yours are.
I mean, I know what mine are. They're brown.
Shit brown.
Our first headline was so good, I didn't want to read the article.
You have to. I don't read the article.
No, I did, but it was just like, it's like an Onion article where it's just like the headline's so perfect you don't need to read the article.
No, I don't know anything but what's in the headline.
Okay.
So
the headline is baby-themed store catering to adults forced to close.
Now, where was the store?
It was in Indiana, and I love that it was like leading the news there. How they could not crack up as they were like asking the owners and the customers of this store. I don't know how they did it, but they took it very seriously. It was Noblesville, Indiana. And what happened was these store owners opened a store called My Inner Baby.
First of all, My Inner Baby is a great name for maybe adult baby.
It's a baby-themed store catering to adults. Yeah. So
Benjamin's Button Store would have been a good one.
That would have been... would have been pretty good. So they got a cease and desist. And what they are is a store that sells diapers for adults. And there's like a huge variety as this news camera, you know, went around the store.
Does that just depends, like old people diapers?
But there's like a huge, like, I couldn't, but there were like aisles in the store and tons of different options of like, people are into kind of the diapers for adults. And what they say is that they are serving a medical function, that a lot of the people in there, and customers attest to this, have medical issues where they need to wear like adult diapers.
Sure. If you're incontinent, adult right. diapers. If you are an astronaut going to kill someone, adult diapers. If you are going to a sporting event, don't have to get up and use the bathroom a bunch, adult diapers. If you're taping a podcast, adult diapers.
Right. But they come in many shapes, sizes for different medical conditions and whatnot. Some people just can't control their bladder.
Aaron, how do you juggle raising a child, being a good husband, and producing podcasts?
I mean, adult diapers.
Fuck yeah.
Right. So the store was saying they're catering to those people, whereas the city is saying that, no, this is a sex shop because the store sells diapers for adults, but it also sells clothing that mimics baby clothing that owners, that like people like to wear. And I guess that's sort of like a sexual fetish thing. And the store, you know, to the city's point, does use the phrase ABDL in marketing. I didn't know this was a thing, but that's like adult baby diaper lovers, ABDL. And so that's sort of like a thing on Reddit. It's a fetish among some adults who like to role play as a baby, you know, wearing diapers.
So I assumed when I heard the story, when I saw the headline, that... I assume when I saw the headline that didn't have enough customers.
You're an adult.
That they had an adult baby store and it just didn't make enough money and they had to close. But no, the government came in. Like, they were selling like hotcakes and the government came in and was like, you're too weird. You're too weird for us.
Yes. I'm always amazed that like almost any store that is that specialized can survive, especially in Noblesville,
I would think
they
do a lot of online sales. I would think that's they're your one-stop shop point. For online stuff. But why can't you have adult diapers, which are a medical thing, and then like hot baby clothes? Why can't you have both in the same store?
Right. They do. And they also have some, you know, they showed like some, I guess they would be water bottles, but it was like sucking, you know, you would kind of suck. And I was like, oh, is that penis shape? Because that's like definitely a sexual thing. But no, it seemed like it was more like sucking the baby bottle, like
it's a pacifier. It's like a, it's not nothing to do with a penis. It's more of like a nipple than a penis. It's like taking you back to like a time where you had no responsibilities, nothing to worry about. You could just be like carefree baby. I don't know how sexual the baby. I don't know if people actually like have penetrative sex when they're dressed like babies. I think they just want to kind of be taken care of and like swaddled.
Yes, there was a woman on that spoke with the news that said, yeah, she like is incontinent. But also, she is into the clothes, and like, there's just some days that she doesn't want to be an adult. She wants to put on a onesie and just watch cartoons and take a break and be a baby, and it's very therapeutic for her.
See, these people are weekend warriors. I like the guy. Remember the guy we talked about years ago, maybe? The guy who like got adult nurses to come and say they needed to be like taken care of? And he would pay right. them to like change his diaper and like sponge baths and clean him. And they found out he wasn't really, you know, sick or differently abled. He just wanted them to do that and sued. I just don't see what the problem is. I like that these people in what, Indiana?
Noblesville.
Imagine someone just being like, I'm opening the store.
That's what I mean.
Cool. Well, oh, cool. What's the store? It's like baby clothes, diapers. Oh, that'll be great. For kids, right? For kids. No. For adults. Finally. Something for us. Like, imagine just having the Stones. If you had a website that sold the stuff.
Yeah, it was a couple, too. They interviewed the couple. They're obviously into the lifestyle, although they didn't talk about that. But yeah, it was a married couple who opened this store. I think it was like their lifelong dream to open My Inner Baby.
Why call it My Inner Baby? Why not just have a section of adult diapers and then just have other shit too? Call it a costume store with a side of adult diapers. Like, I feel like the marketing or branding was what led to their downfall. And so they closed because the state shut them down?
Well, they are refusing to close. I don't know how that works, like if a SWAT team just like comes and starts locking the door. But as of a week ago, and this was a current story, they had not shut down. They're going to fight it in court. They're getting lawyered up and they're going to fight it in court. And they say like it's just not fair. It's not a sex shop. But it's a fetish shop though, I guess. Because they had a pretty big selection of baby clothes for adults. It doesn't seem like something the city should be shutting down at all.
No. I mean, I guess if there's no kind of like sex toys, if it's literally just clothing, like costumes and diapers, I don't see what the problem is. I'm with the people. I'm with, what's it called again?
My inner baby.
My inner baby. I'm with my inner baby.
Right. Go, if they are online, like, after you get some JRVP merch, maybe we could make some like a adult baby themed merch for JRVP.
For sure. Aaron, are you online right now?
Online right now?
Yeah. Can you go? Do you have a computer near you and you can go?
I do. I can. Oh, you want me to look?
Yeah. Yeah. Look up My Inner Baby.
I will.
If they've got merch, I'm going to wear that. Anthony, are you wearing a Moomoo?
Oh,
fuck
yeah.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, they do. They've got the retail store. But they've got a pretty extensive online store. You're right. That's probably where they've been making their own money. And then they decided they wanted to have a
brick and mortar.
A brick and mortar. I don't really know. But I think like the My Inner Baby JRVP crossover event could be massive.
Huge. We can save them. It's like, you know, in college, we were like, we're losing the fraternity house. We got to throw a party and make all that money. We're going to throw a party for My Inner Baby.
What about the My Inner Baby JRVP ASMR crossover event? Like, oh yeah, you're an adult. Just need to take a break.
You don't understand what ASMR is. You're being too sexy.
I just can't help it. It comes out that way.
It's too sexy. I'm with the My Inner Baby people. Do you think they're going to win?
I hope so. And I think this pop is only going to help them. I think when they get the JRVP supporters backing them up, like, absolutely, if My Inner Baby's lawyers are listening to us, you can use this segment in court.
I'm going to Indiana in a few weeks before I go to the Notre Dame game. I'm going to try to make a trip by My Inner Baby. Like, hey, Dad, before we get to the Notre Dame-Cal game, can we make a stop in Noblesville? I want to run in and grab something real quick. By the way, what size are you, Dad?
Thirty-year-old Victor Alvarez was out partying at the Mother of Earth Festival in Bolivia recently, and that's when the night got like a little wild. Cut to the next morning, Alvarez woke up needing to pee. Not sure what had really happened the night before, except he found that he couldn't pee because he couldn't move. Because he was inside of a coffin buried underground, roughly 50 miles away from the festival. He was able to break his way out, obviously, or else we would not know this story. He was able to get out.
So he was buried underground and then broke out. I assumed he smashed out of the coffin during his funeral, which would be the best way to say, I'm back, baby.
It was like a reverse. It was not a reverse coffin flop, which is what that would sort of be like while it's happening. I can get into the context of what the Mother Earth Festival is all about, but just so you know about Victor, no, he got buried and then he just like then they left him, I think, and he just kind of got out, and he was pretty upset.
So he was only – he was dead. They thought he was dead for a couple hours?
Yeah. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see a picture. He got out, and he is all bloodied, and he called the news – like, he told the story, and this was a big news story in Bolivia because, let's be honest, not great PR for the Mother of Earth Festival that they buried a guy alive. And if you are watching on YouTube, you can see he has cuts all over his face. And that was because, I guess it wasn't exactly like a coffin. It was more of like a glass enclosure, basically a glass coffin. And that was underground, and he like punched his way out, and the glass broke and cut up his face. But he wasn't like too far underground.
Wait, they buried a stranger at a festival, and then sprung for the glass coffin. I gotta think that's more expensive than the shit wood, like what we got behind us here.
Okay, so this festival like is sort of about burying things, not burying live people, but the festival itself is. Mostly for indigenous people of the area and how they give thanks to Pachamama, the goddess of earth and fertility. So they give offerings known as Sulu to the planet. And like they give offerings like live animals. Sometimes they give live animals. I think that's about as deep as it gets. Like indigenous Bolivians, according to the article, believe that the goddess opens her mouth for offerings in August, and so they like leave food, like cocoa leaves and sweets and stuff like that. And at this festival, they like bury that, and sometimes they get a little carried, you know, they get really into it and leave some animals, some dead animals, some live animals. And I guess they got like carried away, and this dude was just like wasted, and they're just like, let's leave Frank or Victor. Let's leave Victor for
it. So they didn't think he was dead. They were just like, he'll get out eventually. We're carried away right now.
I don't know. He was pretty pissed because he could have fucking died for sure.
Yeah. I mean, they should be charged with attempted murder. This festival sounds like a big sleepover, and Victor was the first guy to fall asleep. And they're like, let's draw on his face. But their version of drawing on their face, what we're putting shaving foam on your hand and scratching your nose, is to bury you alive in a glass coffin. If it was like plywood, I would kind of understand. Like, they thought he was dead. Let's take care of this and enjoy the festival. No. Like, this is an offering to Vishnu?
Pachamama.
Why did they even have a glass coffin there?
Well, I don't know if it was glass. Whatever it was, the glass, it was glass. I don't know if it was exactly a glass coffin, but whatever it was, he had to break through that to get out. And he just was quoted saying they wanted to use me as a Sulu. And he was, which Sulu, again, to recap, is an offering. And he immediately reported it to police. Immediately, like, called up the media. He was, like, so furious. He wanted someone to be held to account. And he said the police initially refused to do anything. And they were just like, you were too drunk, man. You're drunk. That's on you. You go to the Mother of Earth Festival and get wasted. Like, you're going to get buried. That's just what happens. That was their initial response. And then people were outraged.
If you thought that was possible to get buried alive at the Mother Earth Festival, why would you go? Why would you drink there? Like, are people just waiting around for someone to pass out so they can bury them alive?
I mean, it certainly raises the stakes. I guess it would be kind of a...
Well, it should be hard to pull a Kill Bill and get out of a coffin that's 6 feet underground. So I could see maybe they knew he was going to get out.
Probably.
But it was harder than he thought it was going to be. Like, if he just pushed the top off and got out, he probably wouldn't have reported
it. We also didn't wake up till the next morning, and the most fucked up thing about it is he was 50 miles away. To me, that was the craziest part of the story. Is like, not only did he get out, like, okay, I'm out. Like, where am I? Like, 50 miles is pretty far.
Honestly, if I went to a festival of anything, and I fell asleep, passed out, and I woke up underground in a coffin, broke out of it, saw that I was 50 miles away from anything, I'm going back to sleep. I'm going back in the coffin. I'm doing a reverse Kill Bill 2.
I mean, wouldn't you be a little worried, though, that then they, like, rebury you and give you up to Pachamama?
This is where I live now. I'd rather be buried alive than walk 50 miles back to a festival that buried me alive in the first place.
I mean, you could maybe get a ride.
We're not getting the whole story here. To get
I
him
think
50
that's
miles
the whole
away,
story.
To get, so he passed out, and like, oh hey, you know we got a glass coffin. This guy passed out. Let's bury him as a tribute. Let's take him 50 miles away. None of it makes sense. If they buried him there, and he came out okay. But like, it doesn't add up. It sounds like someone wanted to kill him and use this as a cover.
Mm, that's true. Maybe it's like you were saying, like, why would you go to this festival? But on the flip side, it makes, I would say, no. I'd want to go more.
Why would you, like, drink at this festival?
If you, like, yeah, you, if you want to feel alive, go to the festival where there's like a chance if things go wrong, you might get buried alive. Like that, I've been to a lot of parties. I've never been to one like that. And it's sort of that catch 22 where it's like, if you have a near death experience, it sort of makes you feel alive. Like that's the attraction to the mother.
I think it should just be a flat out cocaine festival where everyone just goes and gathers and does coke and they bury things. And if you drink too much and you fall asleep, you're going to die. And everyone knows it. So you do coke so you don't fall asleep. Makes sense.
I feel like we could send like Aaron Rodgers there next off season. Like this seems like his shit, like little ayahuasca, Aaron Rodgers. That's it. I don't know about piano beat. Might have to delete piano beat. You have a lot of options for dog sitting services these days, Anthony. I know you just have like friends that do it for you, but sometimes you go professional. But one option is to have your mom do it if your mom lives nearby, and that's what a British man did recently. Before he returned home to find a completely different house than the one he left. He claims that his mom painted all the walls while he was gone. This was a new house that he and his wife had just moved into. Hung up a bunch of her own pictures, or pictures she thought would be cool to put up, and moved the dog's bed into the mud outside.
Into the mud outside?
Into the mud outside. As it is.
What kind of dog was it?
I don't know.
And where was this?
It was in the UK. I'm not sure where.
See, when they said mum, I assumed it meant like just like an older woman, not the guy's actual mom.
It was actually
the dog has almost nothing to do with the story. This is like a guy asked his mom to house sit, and she. How long was she gone? Were they gone for?
5 days.
5 days. That's it.
And they said they were going to a music festival. What? I don't know. That's a long music festival trip.
But maybe they got to account for getting out of a burial. They got to. How long does it take to get out of this ditch? Yeah, I mean, when you have a dog sitter or someone who's like good with your dog, and you need, like, I need to have someone come stay at my place when I leave to take Rummy, and you hold on to those people. I've got kind of an ex, I've got Liz, and I've got this girl, Lisa, who has disappeared off the face of the earth. I haven't seen her in months to come and help with Rummy. We've talked occasionally, but I think she might be done with Rummy time. She's got like other things she's working on professionally.
Yeah.
And I need to find someone and like train them with Rummy so Rummy's cool with them and I can have more time off. So I understand you bringing your mom in and just be like, mom, take care of this for 5 days.
It's such an Anthony thing though that you've got your ex working on the Rummy situation.
Well, she was
like,
she loves Rummy.
With Liz, part of the family sort of.
She was around like, Rummy in the beginning and Rummy only likes the first like four people he met. And everyone else can go screw. And she wants to see Rummy and spend time with him. But it's like, if Rummy's going to try to kill you or be thrilled that you're there?
I get it. I just am saying, like, I've seen, you know, it's like Jesselnik relationships have, you know, a strange afterlife. But often, you know, it's got an end point too. So it's like, watch out, all things comedy. It's like Anthony just gets a little itchy after a while.
Well, I'm not like Greg. Like Greg, when he's finally done with something, he just kills them.
Wait, so to this mom though, it sounds like a terrible mom. I mean,
crazy mom. I bet she raised your son well, but to come in after if she'd been there for like 5 months and was like, I got bored, I painted some walls, like to paint all the walls and then put up her own pictures is crazy mom.
It sounds like he's got a rough relationship with her to begin with, and this was like the last straw. She was like, he said, you know, I told her I would pay her. Because she needed the money. That was sort of the idea. So immediately there, I was like, okay, that's maybe, things might be a little problematic. He was like, I knew she needed the money. I offered to pay her. If I'm going to pay someone, I might as well pay my mom, and she could stay there. He said, yeah, every wall in the house had been painted with a color that did not match the normal paint scheme, but it was also like a really terrible paint job, as if she did it herself, like incomplete and patchy. Like the old paint job was 5 months old.
And she went out and bought paint and brought it back.
She
doesn't know. She didn't like have paint there.
She's like, she left a mess, but she didn't leave that. Like he said there were missing electrical outlet covers. There were 100 cigarette butts in a potted plant. Several items from the house were missing. He thinks she stole some stuff. It seems like a problem.
It seems like a problem, yes, but why did he go to the media? To shame his mentally incompetent mother?
This was like a story he initially told anonymously, either on Reddit or some social media, and then okay. They like found him. I don't know. He was just like randomly complaining.
So he wasn't pressing charges. He was just like,
no,
my mom's nuts.
But he said he had to change the house key because sure. She got a spare key. And he said, like, this was sort of the last straw, and he's cutting off all contact with your mom. Do you think this was a cutoff, worthy event?
Yes, but I could see, like, I'm not spending Thanksgiving with you. You're on your own for Christmas. I'm not. Don't call me on my birthday. We're done. But I might need you to watch my dog again. Like, I might just put up with the painting and the cigarette butts and all that because I need someone to watch my dog real bad. Like, I want to know what kind of dog it was.
Well,
and I want to know, was... When he came home, was the mom still there? Or was she like leave? It was like, okay, I'm going to feed the dog and take off.
It sounds like she wasn't there when he got in because he said how he walked in and was just like totally stunned. And so I think she had left earlier that day. He said the dog had been seemingly left out back the entire time, barely fed, and was caked in mud and rain. And that was like the thing that really
got
him.
That would make me the most upset.
Yeah, that
for sure.
He said that was the thing that made him the most mad. Was it seemed like she like treated him like the dog like a piece of shit.
It reminds me of one time my brother was flying home to Pittsburgh from Chicago for a wedding, a friend's wedding, and he's getting in like early in the morning into Pittsburgh, and that my parents are out of town. I'm like, oh, one of the sisters will pick you up. She's got to work, but I think she's working it out with her job that she can come get you. He gets to the airport. He's waiting for the sister. She's not there. He's trying to call her. No answer. Trying to text. No answer. Finally, after like an hour, hour and a half, maybe 2 hours, he just gets an Uber or like gets a cab and gets home and walks in. And the sister who's supposed to pick him up is just sitting on the couch. Like it's like 11 o'clock in the morning. Just like eating like a bowl of cereal on the couch. He's like, what are you doing home? And she goes, oh, I took off work so I could pick you up from the airport. And I don't think they spoke for quite some time after that. No apology, no like, hey, it was like, hey, yeah, I took the day off.
I love Mikey.
Mm-hmm. That's some House of Dragon shit right there. That's like what they play when they all get their hair cut.
All right, so we're doing a little different setup here for these last stories, combining two stories per Anthony's instruction, because they're both cheating stories. They're connected. One was about a woman who recently told the story of catching her boyfriend cheating, and when she was considering whether to take him back or not, she said he could make it up to her by paying for her nose job. And he did. But then he cheated on her again. So he paid for the nose job. She got that. But then he cheated again. The second story is about an Australian woman who took a different approach. After learning that her boyfriend cheated, she took out a full-page ad in the local paper. And it said, "Dear Steve, I hope you're happy with her. Now the whole town will know what a filthy cheater you are." From Jenny. P.S. I bought this ad using your credit card. Supposedly it costs about over $1,000 to take a full page ad. It was in a big paper.
Look, here are my takes on these two stories.
Yeah. Right. Choose your fighter, Anthony.
Let's start with the first one. Woman's boyfriend cheats on her. He's like, "Let me make it up to you." She's like, "You can't make it up to me. You're a cheater. I know who you are. I don't want to be with you if you don't care about me at all." He's like, "I'll make it up to you." She's like, "Okay, get me a nose job." He's like, "Done." He's allowed to cheat on her now. If you cheat on your girlfriend, or if you cheat on your boyfriend, and they're mad, and they decide that they'll forgive you if you buy them something, whether it's like a diamond ring, or a necklace, or some clothes, a vacation, or a nose job, you can pay for it and get out of it. You are allowed to cheat on them. They don't like, oh, thank God that's over, now I can go back to being monogamous. No, you're getting cheated on. This guy did nothing wrong. He bought a cheating pass. And no one's surprised. If you cheat and
well,
then you...
Of course
like,
no one's surprised. Yeah. But I
is
don't...
It, why is this newsworthy? She TikToked it and it got picked up?
Exactly.
So she was like, my boyfriend got me a nose job because he cheated on me. And then he cheated on me again. Guys are pigs, aren't they? Like, you're a pig. The girl who's telling the story is insane. For like, I feel like I left him right
away.
She
sort of said she wasn't really mad. That ultimately, like, she's happy she got the nose job, and this guy's an asshole, but she got the nose job.
But is he an asshole? He got her a nose job. Guys cheat all the time. He got her a nose job to make her feel better about it. I'm on team guy here.
I would agree if that's sort of agreed ahead of time, or even if it's an unspoken thing where both parties know what's going on here. If for some reason he was like, I'll never cheat again. I love you for the rest of my life. I want you back. I'll never cheat again. And then he does.
Yes, then team girl. If he's like, let me talk to you. Let me talk to you emotionally and intellectually, and let's get to a point where we can move forward.
What if he says that, and I'll buy a nose job?
Once you bring in money into it, it's over. You are buying a cheating pass. Okay. I'm totally team guy. And this guy doesn't give a fuck. He's like, I'm happy I got you the nose job. I got a couple more months out of you before I had to cheat again. You're gone. This guy's obviously rich. We don't pay for other people's nose jobs because they cheated. He was rich and just said, fuck it. And I'm sure was surprised when she got mad a second time.
Plus, he hated the old nose.
He must not have loved it. Maybe the other girl had better noses, you know? But I'm totally on team guy. Do you see any problem with what this guy did?
I'm like staring at your nose for some reason. I got a perfect nose. It's pretty solid.
Look at that.
I got a big old Jewish honker, and I'm proud of it. It's just like big and juicy. What was your question? I kind of lost track.
Doesn't matter.
Who would you favor in the second story, though, the woman or the man?
In the newspaper thing?
Yeah. So she puts out the full page ad in the paper. You know, I hope you're happy. Filthy cheater, and I bought this ad using your credit card, which to me is what makes her the winner. I love the PS.
You're wrong. Because this guy doesn't have to deal with her bullshit. You ever, like, go through a breakup? Have you ever cheated on someone you were dating?
No.
Have you ever had a breakup that was, like, bad where they're like, let's talk about it. You got to come over and talk about it. And just, like, let them be angry and cry and yell at you. Have you ever had one of those?
Sure.
Yeah. Yes. Where it's like, I know we're broken up, but we need to make it as painful as possible. And you have to come over. And we'll have some wine, and I'm just going to, like, give you shit and yell at you, and it's going to be miserable for a couple hours. And then maybe that will be enough. Maybe it won't. Maybe the next day they'll call and be like, we need to talk some more.
Maybe it'll drag out for months and be miserable.
This has happened. This has happened to me where it sucks so hard, where now it's like, we're breaking up. I don't care if I ever see you again because I'm not doing this for weeks. This guy got to miss all that shit. He cheated. She took $1,000. Someone's like, $1,000, you can avoid all this conversation. The girl feels like she gets some kind of revenge, even though this guy's life is infinitely better now. He's got a story he can tell at any pub he walks into for the rest of his life. Everyone in the town thinks he's cool. It's like, wasn't there a Seinfeld episode?
He's framing the paper and putting it in his house.
Oh, yeah, for 100%.
I don't know, though, because if he's in a small area, and we've had friends that have, you know, had different cheating things, and sometimes it's public, and it's like a small group of people. Mm-hmm. You are a little, you know, ashamed and not wanting to advertise that. So if you're seeing this in a newspaper, maybe, like, suddenly that's, you know, hurting your chances with finding another woman.
Let's
say
100 women see this newspaper ad that this woman took out. Yeah. 100 women who aren't involved in the story at all. Maybe 10 of them are like, Steve's a piece of shit. The other 90 are like, I want to meet Steve. It's like that Seinfeld episode where it's like, where a guy is like, his exes all hate him so much with so much passion that, like, Elaine's like, I've got to find out what this guy has that makes everyone so angry. That people are going to, like, just because you got caught cheating, it made her so mad she took out this ad by name, not last name, but first name. So enough people know he's a legend now. This is the best thing that could have happened to him. If he had known she was going to do this, he would have cheated sooner. It's the best case scenario. You avoid the breakup conversation.
Okay.
It's there. You get a memento. You can frame. You get memorabilia. And you never. She can get mad, and you're like, you took out an ad. Shut up. I paid for the ad. Leave me alone. And women, now that he meets, want to meet the ad guy, the cheating ad guy. I guarantee it.
I've never seen you more passionate about a take in your life. You're like Stephen A. Smith on this bitch. Mm-hmm. Like, you're just like, I've got my take. I'm going to convince you. And you have.
The guy's winning both of these.
You're Skip Bayless. You're a legend.
I'll be both. I'd rather be Steve. Would you rather be Stephen A. or Skip?
Of course Stephen A. Smith. Yes. Are you kidding? Skip Bayless. Okay. Turd.
I like Skip.
I mean, I get what he's doing, but...
Do you disagree?
No, you convinced me. I did. Initially, I didn't, but I'm a persuadable person, and you are so passionate. Like, if it was debate club, it was just like, point Anthony.
Mm-hmm. Aaron, who wins?
Are we talking Steve or...
We're talking both... A guy. Is a guy win or girl win in both stories?
Yeah, the guy wins in both stories.
Both stories, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Take your nose job. Go tell your story on your fucking TikToks. There was a guy who, I'm at the gym the other day, and this guy is like on the leg press machine, just mm-hmm. like some young guy like my age, and some like big dude comes up and he's like, hey, I've been waiting 10 minutes for that machine. And the guy's been on the machine for like 3 minutes, but he's like in between sets, he's just like on his phone, like waiting to do the next set. And he's like, are you gonna be done soon? The guy's like, yeah, I'll be done soon. Like, you know, you normally ask like how many sets you got left. He's like, no, like I'm waiting for that. And the guy's like, I'm waiting for it, and just like staring over the dude. And the guy's like, okay, and then does another set, and then like goes back to his phone. And the guy goes, go back to your fucking TikTok, asshole. And now I say that all the time. I say, go back to your TikTok, asshole, every chance I get. And when someone's on their phone, be like, all right, I'll be right back. Go back to your TikTok, asshole. And then that guy ended up getting thrown out of the gym.
Wow. I mean, it makes you sound like the old man kind of yelling at kids, but it also has a certain ring to it.
Yeah.
I love that story.
This guy was the older guy who yelled at the kid. But just think, like, someone on their phone at the gym is on TikTok is funny to me. And now it's time for
choo-choo
recommendation station. Greg, what do you got?
I'm recommending a classic called Portrait of a Lady by Henry James. And I can see what Anthony's thinking already. It's like, we don't, you know, we're supposed to be recommending like under the radar stuff or whatever. Okay, you're not. Good.
You can break out a classic.
Okay. Because like, who's reading classics these days? I hadn't read Portrait of a Lady yet by Henry James, but it's one of those classics that enough writers and critics and authors that they love, like as almost their like totem, like great book, that I was like, I got to do it. Every vacation, I treat myself to like one of these big ass books. And this was the one I did this year. And like, it's tricky because it's got to come through for you. And I would say by the end, and I love the whole thing, but by like the last 100 to 150 pages of Portrait of a Lady were like electrifying. Were like as memorable as any reading experiences I've had for a long time. I don't know what it is about these Victorians, you know. Sometimes it's like the Russian authors, but there's a reason that it's lasted 150 years and people still, like, if you actually dive into it, love it. It's because it's fucking great. So if you're looking to get deep on an old school book, stop laughing.
What else did Henry James write?
What did Henry James write? A lot of the Bostonians, for some reason, is like another book that comes to mind, but that's not one of his well-known one. Turning of the Screw? What? What are you?
I'm waiting to tell my joke.
Okay.
I haven't read Portrait of a Lady, but I have seen it. I wish we'd have like fireworks when I say things like that. I've seen
it. Can we get that? All Things Comedy. The Golden Bowl. That was another one. Daisy Miller.
I haven't read any of that.
Turn of the Screw. I mean, Portrait of a Lady is long. It's like 650 pages or whatever. To me, that's like a perfect vacation book when you have a little time to dive in. But like it, you know, it's one of those English books where it's like, did she marry the wrong man? Yes, like if you're not going to be into that, but it's just like so smart about how people actually are. There's a reason why it's lasted.
Did you actually close the book for a second, like put your finger in the place and close it and go, did she marry the wrong man? Did you say that?
It's about an American that goes to the UK and is traveling around Europe and basically keeps turning down these guys who are trying to marry her. She gets, I'm not giving anything away, falls in, you know, ends up getting some money and like turning down guy after guy. She's a badass character, but did she marry the wrong guy? You'll have to read
Portrait of a Lady by Henry James. Sounds good. I have not read it. I will when I go back to a classic, I will check it out. My book is brand spanking new. The guy named Kotaro Isaka, a Japanese author who wrote Bullet Train that came out a couple of years ago. It's now a movie with Brad Pitt. The movie didn't look that great to me, but I wanted to read the book because it's about just like a bunch of assassins on a train. I was like, this is perfect for me. Read Bullet Train, loved it. He just came out with a brand new book last week called Three Assassins. It's got some of the characters left over from Bullet Train in it again. Bullet Train is actually a great book. Fun book. It's not all just like hitmen. It's like hitmen talking about philosophy and stuff. It's actually really good. And Three Assassins is very similar. A little more of a crowd pleaser, I think, Three Assassins. But Three Assassins by Kotaro Isaka. A fantastic read. If you like me, you like assassins, it's got some humor in it. Check it out. The Three Assassins has, this is not a spoiler, there's like the three different assassins are one guy whose thing is that he convinces people to kill themselves. He doesn't actually do anything. He just like, he's called the Whale and he just talks to you and has some kind of like hypnotic charms that make people kill themselves. One guy's called the Pusher, who pushes people. He just gets behind you in traffic and just like, he's not, you can't even see him. He just like shoves you. No, there's never any witnesses. You just think it's a traffic accident, but he pushes you.
Traffic, not trains.
Yeah. Cars. Although he could push you in front of a train. And then there's a guy who's just good with knives and shit. But it's cool.
You always sound so much cooler and concise when you do your recommendation. I'm always like defensive and talking about some like 18th, you know, 19th century.
You just got to own it. I wasn't going to shame you for reading Portrait of a Lady.
I know. That's what I mean. I'm after 171 episodes, I'm still struggling with that.
And the three assassins, like at the end, get together to find out, did she marry the wrong man? And that was
choo choo.
Recommendation station. Buy our merch. Wear it. Bury yourselves alive.
Whoa, Nelly Furtado, that's a spicy meatball.
It looks so much younger.
I know.